At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is Adam Carriker on the Ticket.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here's your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Adam Carriker on The Ticket. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking some SummerSlam, some pro wrestling. All right. Also, just got some unfortunate breaking news as of about 15 to 20 minutes ago. All right. Unfortunately, left tackle Teddy Prochazka suffered a season-ending knee injury at practice. That news was just released. Give our thoughts on that. The offensive line, Teddy Prochazka as a whole, and how that affects Nebraska's season potentially going forward as well. All right, before we dive into that, you can always check out Bonzo Pools at bonzopool.com. If you're looking to have pools, hot tubs, saunas put in, well, they've got them, bonzopool.com. If you've got said things, pools, hot tubs, and saunas, all right, and you need them taken care of, they can do that for you as well. Check them out at bonzopool.com. All right. And there is the face that runs the place, Mr. DP, Derek Pearson. How you doing, my friend?
AC, what's happening, baby?
I'm good. I'm not going to lie. I was having a good day. Got some unfortunate news about Mr. Prochazka, Teddy Prochazka. I'm going to read this quick, yeah, and then I want to get your thoughts on it. Yep. All right. So the Nebraska football team suffered really its first significant injury of fall camp, as Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule announced that Teddy Prochazka, junior left tackle, suffered a season-ending knee injury at practice. This is the third time since 2021 that Teddy has seen his season end early due to a season-ending injury. In 2021, Prochazka suffered a season-ending knee injury during the Michigan game after becoming just the 16th true freshman offensive lineman to play in school history. 2022, Prochazka suffered an injury in the third game of the season and chose to take his four-game redshirt at that point. He returned to action in 2023 by the third game of the season, seeing action in 10 games and starting in 6. All right, the latest injury he's a mammoth man. All right, big-time potential as a football player, 6'10", 315-pound Prochazka is unfortunately another major setback for the Elkhorn South graduate who technically have just 1 year of eligibility remaining. However, based on his previous injury history, he could petition for a 6-year hardship season in 2026. Prochazka, unfortunately, has now suffered major injuries to both of his knees, all right, in the past 3 to 4 years. All right, DP, what does this mean for the offensive line? What does it mean for the experience, the depth, protecting Raiola, running the ball? What's this mean for the Huskers?
Yeah, all of it is it's kind of the gray. It's like the weather here in Lincoln. It's kind of cloudy and gray and a little breezy, not exactly the sunshiny, bright, beautiful day that we would want and hope. He's the silverback in the room, and the importance of the left tackle position, especially when there's a young quarterback, especially when there's run game development issues, especially when you're in the Big Ten where, quite frankly, all the unicorns play at that edge position that would go against Prochazka. Mm-hmm. So in a position of need and a position of concern, right? Because I'm not sure anybody was writing that we were rock solid there as is, but he was the best available option, most experienced. Certainly with his length, there are things that he took away. While he may not have been absolute or complete, he took away some things. He made folks go around. He extended the edge and made folks do a little bit more than they wanted to do. Maybe not the best bull rush defender, but that's okay. Now you have to consider it, Turner Corcoran becomes the big bad guy in the building, and you have to be comfortable with that. That the tackle position is not a position of depth for this Nebraska team. There are options, and you've got some young guys that may come in and, quite frankly, be less brilliant but more consistent. And I think that's what you're looking for. Can Gatola come in and offer base level understanding of pass pro, being able to be good with his hands on the double team on the edge? Will he make good decisions sliding upfield? Will he be smart and not getting holding penalties in critical moments? Because that's what young tackles do, is that they panic, and when they panic, you cause penalties, which was the thing that Prochazka had gotten better at. In his experience, he panicked less, and there were fewer penalties. So Nebraska is going to have opportunity for some young guys who were there. Look, these young guys have been working too, and they were signed and recruited for a reason. They've been working. It's time. When that shirt that we see around every football program, next man up. Well, next Husker up is literally live and living. And everybody who's got a jersey and got a locker room spot and who has a scholarship, now it's your time. It's your time. And don't give the job back. don't fail. And don't be scared. Go put in your work. Because that tackle position on either side of the ball in the Big Ten, that's a road grader. That is a Silverback move. You cannot tiptoe, and Nebraska certainly can't afford.
So when you referenced Gatola earlier, for those who may not be familiar, redshirt freshman Gunnar Gatola is a guy who's going to get more opportunities going forward as a result of this unfortunate injury to Teddy Prochazka at the left tackle position. And yeah, it was weird, dude. I had all this energy. I was pumped up. And literally right before I came on air, I saw the news. And I don't have my normal pep in my voice or my step at this point, just because – and plus, you know, Teddy, he's a guy that's been battling injuries. Like, mm-hmm. I feel for him, mm-hmm. I think, is the first thing that sticks out to me. I feel for him, what mm-hmm. he's going through. You work hard to come back from injuries. You work hard to come back from multiple injuries. Highly recruited guy. The ceiling is high for this guy. A lot of excitement when he came to Nebraska, started some games or played a lot as a true freshman. Only the 16th offensive lineman in Nebraska history to do so as a true freshman. And he's just unfortunately battled so many injuries. So that, and to be fully honest, and you can probably hear it, you know, it dampened my mood a little bit, just feeling for him. Mm-hmm. You make a lot of great points. When you look at this offensive line, I mean, we're going to have a true freshman. Dylan's not been named the starter. He's the freaking starter. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
And when you've got a true freshman, and yes, he's not that quarterback that's going to take off and run, you know, for 10, 15, 20 yards all the time, but he's that guy that's going to move around in the pocket, and he can create space and room to be able to throw and make some of these off-balance throws like he showed a little bit in the spring game. But that blind side, he can't see that guy coming. It's at the left tackle spot. It's literally why it's called the blind side, and it's why left tackles are not only the highest-paid offensive linemen in the NFL, they're one of the highest-paid positions out of all the positions in the entire NFL. We're talking quarterback. We're talking left tackles, cornerbacks, and pass rushers. Those are about the four top highest-paid positions outside of some just extreme talents at certain other positions. And so it's a very important position when you got a true freshman quarterback and you've got a room full of talented running backs, but we don't have an obvious starter or an obvious 1-2 punch at this point. It's probably the most intriguing position on the offense to me is the running back position at this point, because we don't know who the starter is going to be. Right. So we got a true freshman, a quarterback, which people are excited about, but he's still a true freshman. We don't know exactly who's going to be the lead dog or the 1-2 punch or however the coaches decide to do it at the running back position. So we need to have a solid ground game. You got to protect the young quarterback. And I think this also, so this obviously, this is I don't want to say it's a gigantic deal, but this is something that needs to be resolved. But also, I think it explains why the other night you saw in the open practice at tackle, you saw Turner Corcoran and Bryce Benhart. At the guard, you saw Justin Evans-Jenkins, Micah Mazuka, and then obviously at center, you saw Ben Scott. And I think that's why those were the guys getting those first-team reps the other night. I will say this. When it comes to Turner Corcoran, if he is the guy that ends up starting, okay, at left tackle in Teddy's place, this was a highly recruited guy. This is a guy that does not lack size or athleticism. He's got all the tools. He's played about a billion games, it seems like. So he's got everything it takes. I know the on-field performance over the years has been very up and down at times, but I've heard things here and there throughout this offseason. Like, he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got something to prove. And I don't hear anything but positive things anytime his name is brought up. I think people are just hesitant to bring his name up a lot because it's been so up and down. But when his name is brought up, it's honestly nothing but good things. So I think it was going to be quite the battle if he didn't play at guard, Corcoran, between him and Prochazka at left tackle. Maybe he wins it outright anyways. And so, I don't know, I'd kind of been hearing some sneaky good things about Corcoran throughout this offseason as well.
Well, it falls in and...
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
As an offensive coordinator, there are things that you can do to make your players better. And I think this is the responsibility that now goes front and center for Nebraska offensively. That quick release, Dylan Rayola calling plays where Rayola gets the ball out of his hand quickly. Yeah, you've got play that requires playmakers outside. Being able to play action and not hold it, right? Actually have defenders react to the play action, which means you got to have some authenticity, some real threat with the run game. And then Dylan's vision, his IQ will make his offensive line better because he will see things that a lot of young quarterbacks may miss. His IQ, his film study is kind of the added factor when you evaluate Dylan Rayola, is that high football IQ is not just route identification, it's understanding where pressure is coming from, being consistent, not feeling chaos when pressure comes, knowing, listen, if I feel pressure, I'm throwing the pressure immediately. And that is a high-quality quarterback IQ thing, and that's what I'm counting on, that they will play call to their weak, to their strength rather than against their weaknesses. They'll give it – Benhart is still a factor because getting a guard to step in gives you a little bit more freedom if that's a thing that you want to do, but then you get into the coaching decision. Do you weaken two positions by moving somebody, or do you just one off and say – next best left tackle get to the position? You're going to try to have to find the 5 best offensive linemen, and Adam, it may even consider moving Adam Scott to tackle.
Potentially.
He's played the position, and from a sound standpoint, the most valuable asset to Nebraska football is that quarterback. And at whatever cost and whatever expense, whatever play calling, whatever personnel you put on the field, it could be the two tight end thing, right? That if you're going to use Borkature and Fedoni together and allow Borkature to do what NFL teams have done with great edge rushers, which is use the second tight end to kind of chip and take some of the burden off. If he's only got internal leverage and a tight end outside that will at least protect Dylan's backside, then you're one receiver short in the route combinations, but you're still able to protect the asset and then make really good decisions about what you're asking your receivers to do.
Yeah, you make a good point there, because there's a lot of things you can do to offset. I think it's now more important than ever that we got to be able to run the football, which I think a lot of people believe we're going to be able to do. Okay, but it's even more important than ever, because now if we get in predictable pass rushing situations and maybe we don't have our left tackle out there, Prochazka would have won the job. It makes it easier for the defense. But it's funny, when you brought up two tight ends, I like legit had flashbacks. No defensive end likes the tight end on the field unless you just get a play in like a wide freaking nine and it doesn't matter. You just get wider than the widest guy on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage from you as a defensive player. But most schemes don't do that. And a tight end, so if there's no tight end there, a lot of times you can get wider, you can angle, and you can fire off the ball, and it's easier to go straight towards the quarterback. But if there's a tight end there, you got to tighten up a little bit because of the potential run game, and you can't angle quite as much, so you can't angle straight to where the quarterback's drop zone would be. You've got to be more upfield, and so it creates challenges even if the tight end just releases.
Yeah.
Now if he stays in, he can, like you said, he can chip on his way to his route. He can stay in and just stay in as an extra blocker. You can slide left or right the protection. It's really complicated stuff when the offense says, you know, Roger lingo, I have no idea what's coming. It doesn't mean slide right or left. It doesn't mean it's a pass. Like half the time the offense tells you what they're doing before the play is snapped. But there's simple things that you can do to help along with this. I will mention, you know, Henry Litovsky is going to be out for a couple of weeks as well. So these are two guys with Prochazka, Litovsky, that were potential starters, guys who were definitely going to play and contribute a lot. Now one out for the season, one banged up for a couple of weeks. So this is something that Satterfield is going to have to figure out how to do a good job with this going in. And luckily, you know, we have a huge edge over UTEP, but figure out going into game one and then going into game two versus Colorado, who, even if they score points this year, they're still not going to be good on defense. So hopefully we can get a good game plan put together, but hopefully we got a couple of games to kind of figure it out as well.
Yeah, that's a big part of the absurdity of trying to give forecasts. Like you can't forecast injury, you can't forecast replacement, win over replacement. All of those things become, okay, what are you replacing? Like, we don't even know that. We don't know what it looked like with Prochazka and Lutowski, let alone without them. So when you start forecasting and go, listen, if Nebraska fans will do themselves this great favor, and it'll do wonders for the mental health of Husker Nation, is just remember, go one week at a time. Go one game at a time and do yourself the favor of not banging your head in the wall, against the wall, looking at 6-1 or 7-0. Do yourself a favor. Get to week one UTEP. Figure out who's going to be on the field. Figure out from that week what you're going to do. Yeah, you have options. It will require coaches to focus, because, quite frankly, you're not even thinking Colorado. What are you going to do out there that allows Dylan Raiola to have offensive success against UTEP? And listen, if you put two tight ends out there, you're putting pressure on linebacker. Most defensive coordinators, if they see two tight ends, they're going to blitz linebackers to cause some confusion. You better have a plan in effect for using those tight ends in a rub and getting them into that short space in front of Dylan so he can make the 5-yard throw within 1.6 seconds and not beat themselves up. So, yeah, let's simplify it. I think that's what this will kind of require that they do. And I actually think it will help them, because they will do less better.
1 week at a time. What is this sanity of insanity? We can't go 1 week at a time. We got to do year-end projections. We got to know what the score of Iowa is going to be right now. This is sanity of insanity, man.
Like, I understand people with that visionary thing. I have it, but I have to turn it off when it comes to sports, because, quite frankly, we don't know. There are too many things. Steve Sipple likes to say what we know and what we think we know. And the two of them are never correct. You never are in full. So we know what they tell us from practice. We tell them what we hear some stories. But the reality is, from rep to rep, sitting there Saturday night, I learned more in that hour than everything that I've been told in the previous 4 months. And that's how things move, is I actually need real data, not forced data, not fabricated data, not pre-produced data, right? I don't need to look at a social media clip. Let me see you go one-on-one with a dude who's also trying to win a job. Let me see you go one-on-one in a competitive situation, and then let me see it in high volume, because you getting a win on play number one that's set up for you to win, and then what you do on play number two might not be the same thing, right? Seeing Carriker throw an offensive guard out the club is absolute. But what happens when they double team him? That's going to tell me more, and I need to see both.
The truth isn't always what is told to the public sometimes. And I wasn't going to go there, but I'll just say that. Are you meaning to tell me that sometimes media outlets have an agenda, or what we're told in the media, sometimes people have an agenda with what they're telling us and what they want us to tell people? Is that possible, DP? That can't be real.
Here's the thing that I repeat often here, because I've repeated it elsewhere. Just because you're able to put your fingertips to a laptop doesn't mean you know football. You mm-hmm. can tell me what the score was, but can you tell me why? Can you tell me how it happened? Tell me how to fix it, right? Okay, this guy wasn't very good. What's wrong and how do you fix it? And if you can't answer both, then quite frankly, you're just a reporter. And I'm cool with that. Reporters are necessary. But nobody's going to tell Adam Carriker whether a defensive tackle is being effective or not if they can't sit with Adam Carriker and go, hey, what do you see here? What do you see? What do you know to be true? That you need more information. I'm okay with not being first. I want to be right. I want more information.
It's funny because I'm usually a little slow to put things out. And it's because I'm okay with somebody putting something out before me.
Right.
I would rather do my best. And I'm not going to bat 1,000. Nobody bats 1,000. But right. I would rather do my best to be correct way more often than not, rather than be first. So that is my priority personally as well.
That is a gospel, Adam Carriker.
Yeah. We got to go to break real quick. Yeah, but bro, it's one of the reasons why I love college football. And I say this all the time. Like when I'm giving my top 25 teams going into the preseason, it's everything we just talked about. It's all projection and things of that nature. Who knows? But that's why I say on paper, right now, the four best teams in the country, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Oregon, however you want to rank them 1 through 4. But then at some point, we got to kick a ball off and all hell's going to break loose. And that's what I love about college football.
Yes, sir.
You got to actually play the game.
Facts. Facts.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, DP and I, the face that runs the place, we're going to give our thoughts and reaction to WWE SummerSlam. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.